Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Corona Conversations. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Anna.
And today we are honored to have the great, the marvelous, the fantastic Ricky Roxburgh here with us.
Hi.
Ricky is a lifelong Disney fan who went from writing stand-up comedy to animated films to being hired as a writer for Walt Disney Television Animation. He helped bring so many of the Tangled the series stories that we love to life, and so we're honored to have the opportunity to chat with you today, Ricky. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's super cool to get the invite. That's really nice. Yeah.
This is how you know you've made it. Once you're on our show, you know?
Yeah. Paycheck be damned.
We're not paying you for this, by the way. I'm sorry. We thought we'd start off with some questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first one is, what are you doing to stay busy now with the whole stay-at-home orders and all that?
Well, my contract with Disney finished up in the beginning of March because I did a couple more shows with Disney, and then that finished in March because our season on Monsters, I was on Monsters at Work. That finished in the beginning of March, and then I started, I just did a feature, which I think I have another draft coming on that, so I'm writing a feature, but it's not a Disney feature, but it is an animated feature. And I can't say who it's for or where it's from, but I'm under NDA, but I think that just got greenlit, which is good, which means it'll come out. I think it's coming out in early 2022. So I'm doing that. And then there's like some other like freelance stuff that I'm doing here and there.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. And then there's always the possibility that I, you know, go back home to Disney.
So how did you go from writing stand-up to writing animated shows for the mouse?
Well, I've always been a Disney nerd, and I use that term lovingly because that is describing me. Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to work on the Jungle Cruise. That's what I wanted to do, because I just wanted to live in Disney World and be there all the time and work there.
We've been there once.
One time?
Yeah.
How long ago?
2008.
Oh, wow.
It was a while.
Oh, I was there then, though. I lived behind Disney World then, like right behind Disney.
Oh, yeah, I remember you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you were the guy, yeah. Basically, like, there was just always a goal, like, once I found out that, like, people make these things, it was sort of a dream of mine to do it, and I can't say that I deliberately, like, was focused on it all the time, because I just sort of, it was one of those things that, like, you sort of wish for it, but you don't ever think. I never thought, it wasn't like, oh, if I do this and that, like, I can't say I carefully plotted anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm from New York originally, and so I would do stand-up and sketch comedy there, because that's what I was into, and, like, in school, I sort of went that way. And then I had a professor there that told me I should write movies or think about writing like movies or TV shows. So I started like practicing that reading everything I could. I'm already like a huge movie buff and everything. But what the thing that really led to it was that I basically like quit stand up, moved to Florida, and I was teaching creative writing. And then I wrote a pilot and entered it into a competition. This is going to be a little bit of a long answer because it's a meandering road, but, cause there's no, like, I just sent in a job application and, I basically, that happened. And then I kind of got the bug again. And there was a small animation studio. There used to be a Florida animation studio, that made Mulan and Lilo and Stitch and stuff that shut down, and Brother Bear that shut down, and a bunch of small studios started. And when I went to Florida, I got a job. That script I wrote and entered in the competition got optioned by Fox, and like did it never got made, but it sort of like got a little bit of traction. And there was a small studio in Celebration, Florida, run by a former Disney feature animator. He was uh, he was the lead supervising animator on like Grandma Fa and Chifu and Mulan. And I like randomly sent my stuff to him. Like I found out about the studio and I sent my stuff in and I got hired. And there was like, the studio was like a powerhouse of people, like really, really like young people who'd never worked before. But like everybody that has worked there has like gone on to like Lucasfilm or Blue Sky or something. And one of my, basically like from that studio ended up shutting down, but it kind of led to like being able to write a movie, and you know, just kind of one thing leads to another or whatever. But the thing that took me back to Disney was the lead character designer at our studio is, he's now the lead character designer on DuckTales, and he's like one of my best friends. He was there, and I ended up writing an episode of How to Train Your Dragon for the Dragon's Race to the Edge for DreamWorks. And while I was out there, I went to lunch with him, and he was like, oh, come meet this guy, Shane. He like helped design, you know, he helped design on How to Train Your Dragon, blah, 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 like that. And Shane ended up being one of the co-creators of Tangled, Tangled the series. And Chris was there also, you know, probably, you know, Chris Sonnenberg. So I really just went to say hello to them. Like I didn't mean for anything to happen. And I like go in the meeting. So it wasn't a meeting. It was just them sitting in a room. I went in and to say hi. And I ended up, we ended up just randomly talking about Frozen. And I always have like a little bit of a chip on my shoulder about Frozen. Not because I hate Frozen, but because everybody, like, it made more money, so it kind of it's like the pretty girl that gets all the attention, and I'm like, but Tangled's like a far, and so I basically, I hand to God, had no idea they were making a Tangled show, and Tangled's one of my favorite movies, and so I basically kind of broke down really fast why Tangled is a superior film in every way. And why I sort of, and they're like, you know, we're making a Tangled show, right? And I'm like, I did not know that. And they did have like one piece of like art on the wall or something like that. And so I said, no. And then they were like, when are you available? And I'm like, well, I'm freelancing for DreamWorks now. So right now, because when you're freelancing, you're not beholden to any one thing. So they asked me to send their stuff. And that's how they asked me to, if I'd move to California after they read my stuff, and so yeah, that's how. Sorry, I know that's it's a winding road, but there's no, that's why like when sometimes people like message me and be like, oh, how do I get into it? And I'm like, I don't know, man. It's really like stumbling
first
around.
You gotta move to New York and start telling jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Be a stand-up comedian in Florida for in New York. Mm-hmm. Be really poor and suffer for a few years. And quit. Find a small animation studio that only has like 25 people working there. Have that studio shut down. Suffer for a couple of years. Write a couple of movies that don't ever come out. And then eventually your friend that worked there will have moved up the ranks in Disney a little bit. And go to meet him and then go meet somebody. It's like, it's really weird.
All according to plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If somebody told me, like, this is exactly how you have to do it, I wouldn't have been, like, if somebody would have told me how to do it, I wouldn't have been able to, like, it's really, really, really crazy. But, I mean, it was just in between there, I was just writing all the time and working my butt off, so when the opportunity came, I was ready, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely was not a, well, I just wrote my script and sent it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I guess you kind of answered this, but you were a big Tangled fan before you started writing.
Yes.
For
yeah.
the show.
Yeah. No, I've Tangled is in my top five Disney movies. So it's like before I started on the show, I could quote it and everything. So I'm a big Disney fan in general, and Tangled. So to be one of my favorite Disney movies is like, you know, it's not just like, oh, I like a lot, I like some movies or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, and then to get to write for the show, man, that must have been crazy.
It was awesome, yeah.
Just curious, what are the other four on that top five?
Oh, okay, well, my favorite, are we including Pixar?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You want to include Pixar? Okay. Top five are Coco, Incredibles, Peter Pan, Tangled, and Aladdin.
Ooh. Interesting. Okay.
He's a Peter Pan fan, so that makes him even happier.
I don't really like the Disney version of Peter Pan.
Oh, I thought you liked
though.
The Disney version, though.
I like Peter Pan, too. I like the sequel. I like the sequel better than the original.
What? A Return to Neverland, that octopus just... The suction cup.
I mean, he's more fun than the crocodile.
No, he's not. No. I played the crocodile in my fourth grade play in Peter Pan. No. Unacceptable.
All I'm saying is that a crocodile has four legs and an octopus has eight, so...
But a crocodile has, like 1,000 teeth. An octopus.
Okay. I love the eyes in the animated version. How they do the popping.
Yeah. You make me sad, Caleb.
I don't know. I just like Jane better than Wendy, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. She's feisty.
Jane's pretty cool.
In ways.
I can't argue Jane. Jane's fun.
Okay. But back to Tangled.
Okay.
I was interested to know how you guys came up with the episode titles, because sometimes you have those fun puns in there, or they play on, you know, existing books, like the Great Expectations one. Is that something the writer comes up with?
Great Expectations, I thought of, and depend, like, sometimes it's weird, like there are, when we write the episode, sometimes we don't have the episode title in mind yet. Like, the episode title doesn't come till later. So we'll just write something as we have to give it a title for production.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the title is just sort of like, oh, we definitely know what we're going to call this, and it stays. That's for most of them. Most of them, I think the title stays close. But then there's other ones where we're like, I don't know what we're going to call this. So, like, example, like Fitzherbert PI, that was something that, like, Jace, our head writer, just wrote, like, he was like, oh, well, I'll just call it this, right? And then it just, no one ever changed it, and it just went all the way through, and it was like, oh, I guess it is being called that, like, but it's not, like, it's definitely, it was literally just supposed to be a working title. So typically the writer would come up with the title, or Jace would come up with the title if he didn't think it was working or whatever. And, like, sometimes it was, like I said, like Fitzherbert PI sticks out as one of those ones that's like, nobody changed this. Nobody thought of changing this one. And then there were other ones that, like, we changed it like three quarters of the way, you know, like by the third draft or something, we changed it to something. Usually it was the writer that would think of it. And so the reason, and it would usually be like, if it was a, we'd look for either a title that just sort of says what the episode is, or something that was just fun. Like, Pascal's story obviously is like a very, like, plain, like, that's what that's about Pascal. And then, like, Great Expectations is, you know, a reference to the Dickens novel, Great Expectations. Mm-hmm. So, and I just thought that they had kind of like similar themes or whatever. So I thought that fit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's usually up to the writer. And then like Chris or the executives and stuff would approve of it.
Are you the person responsible for the lost treasure of Herz der Sohn?
I'm not. I'm responsible for it only in the sense I was like in the room sometimes, like, you know, helping pitch some gags or whatever.
Shoot, well, IMDb lied to me, I guess. That was my favorite episode of the whole series, I think. So however you contributed to that one, props for that. It's so funny.
Yeah, that one was written by my good friend Dave Schiff, and it was boarded by Tom Caulfield, who is, you know, directed by Tom Caulfield. And I'm not sure, because the board teams rotated, so I can't remember who who the other board artists were on it. But I remember them, like, I was in the room to, like, do some punch-up gags or whatever, but I didn't write that episode. But I remember, it was definitely one of those episodes that was, like, really, really hard to crack. Because, like, I think it might have been, like, my fault to say, like, why don't, I think it is my fault in that I remember being in a meeting saying, like, why don't we do an episode that's like, it's a mad, mad, bad world where like everybody's, but like, but maybe I'm just assigning myself credit where I don't deserve it. I don't know. Because it's harder. Like, sometimes there's things that are, like, very clear, and you're like, oh, I definitely did that. But that's, I mean, I definitely can't take credit for that episode. That's definitely Tom and Dave and the, you know, the rest of the board team all the way that they did that. And I remember being in the room when they pitched it and, you know, because we have these the pitch meetings and, you know, the crew and the executives and everybody are in there, and they're just flipping through the boards and reading it, and everybody was like cracking up at the all the different gags and stuff. So we knew it was going to be a fun one.
Okay, well, we'll just have a few more questions here, and then we'll move on to something fun.
Okay.
Now that the show's over, do you have any opinion you'd like to share about Cassandra's mother, or I mean Cassandra's father, who got together with Gothel?
Oh, well, I have my thing.
Yeah, we want to know your thing.
Okay, this is my thing. Disclaimer, this is not really, yeah. This is not
it's
anything,
not
this did not come from Chris, this is not any, it's not an actual conversation in a room where it was going to be an episode, so disclaimer, mm-hmm. disclaimer. It's just me, like, in my own, you know, when you're, like, literally you're, when you spend almost 4 years on, I was in that, like, working on Tangled as long as I was in high school, so it's like... or in college, you know, so it's like you spend, like, I remember one time meeting Rapunzel in the park with my kids, and I was like, hi, she's like, hi, you know, and I'm like, I spend 5 days a week thinking about you and what you'll do and ways I can get you into trouble and ways I can get you out of trouble. Like, and it sounds stalkery, but it's like, really, like, that's all you do is think about these characters and stuff. So naturally, like, when you're dealing with one of your main characters and you find out who their mom is, you're like, who's their dad?
Yeah.
My feeling is that it's Shorty. and here's my evidence. Okay. Now Shorty's naturally, like, he looks pretty old, right? But if you subtract 20 years, right, and you know you age pretty fast, you know the booze ages yeah. you, you know. And it was a different time too, so men aged faster, you know, in appearance, unless you're Eugene. In the movie, he meets Gothel outside of the Snuggly Duckling, and he's kind of hitting on her. So I imagine a scene 23 years earlier where he's not so old and not so aged by booze and... maybe not as slovenly, right? And a young Gothel goes into the Snuggly Duckling, you know, on her way from having, like, de-aged, and so her body is healed and ready, and they have any, and I imagine that he picked her up the same exact way. Like, I imagine he said, like, ooh, who's this tall drink of water, you know, like that. And then, but it actually worked because he was, like, younger and more handsome. And then they had, like, sort of an evening together. And then that happened. And then, so I kind of imagine this is, like, the movie part is being, like, that's why she, you know, like... It's like a joke when I don't know. That's what I. That's sort of how I imagine it going down.
We're on board with that. We've always said we think Shorty is kind of evil.
Shorty is so evil.
Well, he's the good half of Cassandra. He's the good half. He's good, but the thing, like, I don't know. Like I said, that is totally like the kinds of weird things you think when you're going stir crazy in a writer's room all day. You know. Eating unlimited M&Ms, like, so it's not and
breeds
your mind
creativity.
Yes, yeah, so that does not mean that was the intention. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like I said, it wasn't Chris's or anybody else's intention. It was just it was something that, like, I was like, who is the dad? I'm like, it's definitely, like, it would be too much of a coincidence for the captain to be the dad.
Yeah.
And the captain's, like, not that way. Like, if you know, he's not going around hooking up with people.
Yeah, no.
But I'm like, Shorty, about 22, 23 years earlier.
Oh, yeah.
He's always hanging out in a bar. You meet people, things happen.
True. I mean, think about how weird and fun he is now. I mean, when he was young, he did some crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. He's the life of the party. You know, he's probably really charismatic. Maybe he had a boat. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, last question for now. Now that season 3 is officially ended, do you have any favorite moments from that season or episodes that stand out to you that you're especially proud of?
Wow. Well, season 3, I mean, Cassandra's Revenge is just my favorite episode of the series. That whole episode I'm particularly proud of, like, cuz just getting to do it, the tent poles, mm-hmm. and, you know, be able to be like, whoa, I, like, worked on this, you know, on something like this epic that the team was able to make into this, like, fun, but, in, you know, there's like, really intense dark parts, mm-hmm. and I just thought, I was really proud of that, and, you know, it's, like, it's got, like, the best Alan Menken songs of the series in it, and I mean, Bar Waiting in the Wings. Waiting in the Wings, really good.
Okay, everyone go rewatch that episode tonight.
Yes.
Now we're going to do a little Tangled trivia quiz.
Oh, God. Oh, no. You put me in the spot. Oh, no.
I mean, it's either that or singing. So.
Okay.
So our little sister is off screen, and she came up with this quiz. We have not seen any of the questions, so we are at... in the same situation you are right now.
Okay. Are we all on the same team, or are we, like, rushing to, like, is it...
It's a friendly competition. You know? Okay. We're all in this together, but we're also all in this for ourselves.
Okay.
So I think how this should work is we'll go in turn, and Lizzie, you can ask us the question, and then if we get it wrong, then the next person gets a shot at answering it. Would you like to go first since you're the guest, or should we do ladies first?
Let's do ladies first. I'm a gentleman.
Okay.
I'm putting me there on the go. Spot there.
Okay.
Okay. Question one. What is the age difference between Rapunzel and Eugene?
Oh.
Oh, I know this because I
decades.
Okay, 26, and then she's 18, so that'd be 8 years.
Is that your final answer?
I guess so.
No.
No?
No.
Okay, so now I guess let's move it on to Ricky. Yeah. He can take that.
It's 5 years.
Oh,
five years.
Yeah, because when the,
well, I thought you
were when they meet,
according to my research, it's 6 years, but oh, who knows?
No, well, she's 18, you know, the movie's her 18th mm-hmm. birthday, and the show takes 3 years. And it's his 26th birthday in the mid season of season 3. So she is about there's no like birthday episode for her in the third season.
Yeah,
but she's about 21 in that, and
okay.
So he is 26. So there might be. So I believe I'm doing the math correctly. 3 years from 18
yeah.
Is 21. Like I said, she may not be exactly 21 in that thing, but the timeline of the show is 3 years, and so that third season, mm-hmm. And that's also farther, like, Cassandra's Revenge skips ahead, so when it's actually his birthday, it, like, skips ahead a few months, because things
yeah.
are sort of settled. Before she
did, you guys have like a timeline in the writer's room to keep track of all this?
We knew, like, going in that that the series was 3 years of her life, like that's
oh,
what it
okay.
was. So, and the idea, like, one of the ideas was that, like, every, like, the beginning of every, like, the she would have like a birthday, like, every single season. Like, there was like a whole thing in the first season with, like, tracking, like, planning her birthday party or something, which I always thought was like a little. I was like, I don't know how we're gonna track planning a birthday party for a whole season, but like that the idea that her birthday was coming up. But yeah, at least in the writer's room at Tangled the series, I would say it's 5 years. I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
Cool.
That makes me feel a little better.
Yeah, it's a little
I was like,
easier
that's a long
swallow.
I was like,
yeah.
That's a big age gap.
Yeah, so it would have made him 23 in the movie and her 18.
Okay.
And then 3 years, she's 21, he's 26. Yeah.
That's a point for Ricky, no point for Anna. moving on to me. Give it to me. Give me a good one.
Oh, a good one? You want a good one? Okay. What king did Flynn and King Frederick try to steal a royal seal from?
I'm guessing that's like a season one question or something. Because I don't remember that. What kingdom?
Do you want me to give you a hint?
I'm exposing myself as a terrible fan right now.
Do you want me to give you a hint?
What's the first letter?
E.
E. Arendelle, but spelled with an E.
I'm afraid that's wrong. Anna, do you know? I doubt it.
I cannot say confidently no.
I'll give you a hint. It's a beer.
It's a beer?
Okay.
She's only 20.
I'm only 20. Oh,
okay. Okay, we're gonna skip to Ricky now.
It's Equus.
Yes.
Oh, I feel like I knew that. Shoot.
Okay, now you say that. Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I totally knew that. Yeah. Okay, that's 2-0 right now.
We got in trouble for naming the kingdoms after beers after a while, so.
Who voices Feldspar?
Who voices Feldspar? I know this one. Zachary Levi.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's one. I love Feldspar.
Is he your favorite character? Guy.
I think Feldspar might be my favorite character.
Oh, no wonder you love the Lost Treasure episode.
Exactly. Everything he says is just comedy gold there.
Yeah.
Anna?
Can you complete Hookfoot's ballad?
Oh.
But I'd give anything to hear you blank blank those three words I long to hear.
I'd give anything to hear you blank blank those three words I long to hear.
Yes.
I'd give anything to hear you.
Sing out.
Sing, yeah.
You have one of the words, right?
Sing. Sing loud. I don't know.
We've watched the show, we promise.
Okay. Like, we don't know Equus. I don't know it either, so I'm...
Okay.
That's not my episode, so I don't know. I've seen it, you know, but I don't know the words to that one enough.
Well, I want to end on that note so we look a little more respectable.
Okay.
Ricky was the winner, so congratulations.
What was the answer? Sweetly sing.
Man, that was a tough one.
That was a hard.
She doesn't play, wow.
Doesn't,
yeah,
wow.
She's a toughie.
That's a deep cut.
Now that we've had a little fun, I thought we would finish up with a bonus round, a speed round of questions. And the rules for this are... You can answer in only one word. You can use a full sentence, but you can only use a full sentence 3 times. So you have 3 sentences you can use throughout this period, but otherwise you can only answer in one word.
Okay.
Did that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. 3 sentences, but one word mostly.
I'm going to keep track of your sentences. You got them.
Okay.
Okay. Start off the speed round.
Anna. Okay. Which character is your least favorite?
Fidella.
What was your favorite song from the show?
Waiting in the Wings.
What was the favorite line that you wrote?
This is going to be a sentence answer, so.
Does that count if I say it's a sentence? I mean, because Waiting in the Wings is like, I can't say just one word because it's the title.
Well, yeah, I gave you that one.
Okay.
Could be a favorite joke, maybe just a favorite phrase.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my favorite is the seal of approval. That's my favorite joke.
I love
That's my favorite one.
Anna's probably the biggest fan of the seals.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank
yes.
you. That's
I,
that
I died at the Navy SEAL part. My favorite animal is a manatee, and so they're kind of related, and I was over the moon.
Literally, I was like giddy doing that because like there wouldn't be like Trevor couldn't be in an episode unless like it wasn't like that was a rule. It was like I wouldn't do it if I didn't have, like, a really, like, so it was, like, almost bringing him in. What was, like, how am I going to do, like, what? The fact that they were on a ship was all to get to that joke. Like, it could have been anywhere. Yes. Like, it could have been, you know, wherever Trevor was taking them could have been anywhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it was specifically, I was like, okay, well, Navy SEALs is a thing. So, like, they'll put him in a boat. So that's why, like, and then I, like, and we even like kept it from the crew, like what that joke would be, so that when it was pitched, it was like, I mean, I'm sure like, you know, there were people on the board, like the board team or whatever that hurt, but like, so for the pitch, like the whole team would be like, oh, like cringing. Sorry, I love it way too much. It's so bad.
I appreciate that so much.
Yeah. That's funny. We were talking about what Cassandra might do once she left Corona on a couple episodes ago, and I think Anna theorized that she would become captain of the guard for the SEALs.
I like that. I like that idea.
You got two full sentence answers left. What is your favorite color?
Green.
Green. Nice. You're very on brand today.
Yeah, I'm wearing my favorite. This is my favorite color.
Is this our podcast?
Yeah.
Oh. I have to ask that question?
Yeah. I wrote all these questions, by the way.
Okay, cool.
Question is, which host is your favorite of Corona Conversations?
Pass.
I guess that's fair.
Both. I'll say both. Both.
There you go.
That's one word, so. What was your first job as a kid or
high schooler?
Did you have a weird first job or?
My first job was working in CVS pharmacy.
Solid.
A CVS without a pharmacy, which was weird. So people would come in. It was just, yeah, it was like, so people would come in expecting that they could fill a prescription and we'd be like, no, we don't have a pharmacy. And they'd be like, what?
Just turn around and walk right out.
And I was like this arrogant 16-year-old kid because I was like, yeah, obviously there's no pharmacy here. Can't you see? And they're like, but it's a CVS. And like, I thought they were the dumb ones. And I'm like, oh, yeah. It's the weirdest thing. But yeah, that was my first job.
If Rapunzel and Eugene had a kid, what would they name it?
Oh, never thought about this. And my weakness is naming characters. I'm going to say
Feldspar Jr.
Oh gosh, that would be a bad, a bad, very dramatic situation if Feldspar Jr. Even though they both have the same voice, I don't know that they have. I would say if it were a boy, Eugene would give it a cool name because he grew up without a cool name. So,
oh, that's true.
I think
a fierce name.
Yeah. So I think
would he name him Flynn for real? Maybe.
I don't think he would name him Flynn. Because I feel like that carries a negative
connotation
for him. But I feel like he would name him something like Raven. Or like something cool.
Ooh, I like that.
And then, but Rapunzel wouldn't let him name him that. So, oh man, this is really, wow. This is like the hardest question. Because I feel like this is the kind of thing I would have to like brainstorm in the room with everybody and then be throwing things out and then I wouldn't like I said I'm awful at naming people awful but
I mean they're both such different people they'd probably have trouble deciding too.
Okay, you know what, I would say I'm gonna go with his dad is named Edward, so I'm gonna say I'm gonna say Rapunzel would Edward Frederick or Frederick Edward, depending on I feel like they'd name after the parents. Depending on
Fred Ed.
I don't know who would be the first and who would be the middle. And then for the daughter, if it were a daughter, I would say
I feel like Rapunzel would want an artsy name or something.
Yeah.
Something really out there. Hippie something.
Yeah. My instinct is Willow.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
After the aunt.
Yeah.
Or she would, keeping in with the flower theme, something like Lily.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, that sounds true. Like pretty. So I would go there.
This isn't part of the bonus round, I just thought of this, but were there ever any plans to bring Willow back at all for another episode?
There was. There was an episode that we were thinking of with Willow for the third season. There were.
She's just such a cool character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed her.
There was. I don't know. I think it just might have kind of fallen away in the time that we had. But we did have plans for another Willow episode.
Oh, I can live on in our heads.
Yeah.
Gone but not forgotten.
Yes.
If you could pick one best friend to have from the series, who would be your best friend?
Pascal.
He's a good listener.
Human, it would be Eugene.
No,
yeah.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
He could be a fun friend.
I guess he and Lance are good friends, so, yeah.
Okay, if you had to pick, would it be Kira or Catalina?
I guess Catalina.
Oh, solid.
She's nicer.
Except so. When she turns into a wolf.
Yeah,
she could probably do you some favors in her wolf form.
That's true. Yeah.
Intimidate some people for you.
She's more my speed.
Is Rapunzel's last name Corona?
No.
Follow-up question, what is her last name?
I don't know.
It remains a mystery.
I mean, she might be of Corona, but...
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't know that... Yeah, I don't know her last name.
Huh.
I guess now it's Fitzherbert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite a name.
Yeah. Rapunzel Fitzherbert. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's going to wrap things up for us. Do you have
a nasal question?
Oh, yeah. Wait, Anna has one more question.
So, since you are a fan of stand-up comedy, I was wondering, do you like Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Did it mess you up at all when Zachary Levi came onto the show? Because at first it was so hard for me because I just kept thinking of Eugene whenever I heard him talk. And then I began to love his character and, like, got used to it. But at first it threw me for such a loop. I was like, oh my gosh, it's Eugene, but I just don't know what's happening.
Well, there's a short, it's like a kind of a noir-y short that I wrote it, where he does that kind of... kind of voice in it, which is fun. So there's sort of a blending of the two. It doesn't, I mean, like, because you see him, it's weird. Like, the thing that threw me for a loop the most with respect to Zach, it's like, because once you see them record in person and you meet them, so it's like, oh, that's a person that I've met that's on that show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more of the weird thing.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
And then, like, I remember the weirdest thing was the first time we had the. It wasn't the first time I met him; it was the second time I met him. But there was a we had a story meeting where we were kind of presenting the overall arc and everything to him and Mandy, and so they were both in the room, and it was the first time I had ever been in a place with both of them at the same time, and I remember just sort of, like, looking down, and it was only, like, six of us in the meeting or whatever, and I'd, like, look down at the table, deliberately not look at them so I could just hear them, like, Rapunzel and Eugene talking. And then, like, so that to me was, like, that's, like, the most freaky thing. But, like, seeing him, like, or, like, when I see him in Shazam, it's, like, it's a little bit weird because you're, like, that's not Shazam, I met him, you know, like, but it is, you know, so it's, but it's cool to see him on there, because the thing about him is that he's, like, he works so hard, and he gives, like, you know, he really, like, gives 1,000% when he's on the show, so it's, like, whenever I see him doing anything, I'm always, like, pleased, because, like, he... You know, whether it was our show or that, you know, it's like, you know, he's given 1,000%, so you're, like, proud, you know? You're like, ooh.
Yeah.
He's doing good.
Well, thanks for answering all our Tangled and non-Tangled related questions.
Of course. Glad to.
It's been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
And I guess, do you want to see the mountains before we sign off?
Yeah, show me.
Thanks again to Ricky for paying us a visit. If you enjoyed this episode, you can continue the conversation on Twitter at Corona Podcast, via email at coronaconversations@gmail.com, and leave us a review on iTunes if you feel so inclined. Until next time, this has been Corona Conversations. Join us next week for a new episode. We're not quite done yet. We've still got a few episodes left in us.
Everything podcasters should say. We're gonna say it in our own way, we swear.
so don't change the station. It's Corona Conversation.